Walmart's Wall Street-style move to arbitrage all those gift cards you just unwrapped.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio, coming to you from Washington today. If you received a gift card for the holidays, Walmart wants to make you an offer. Trade it in for a Walmart gift card for less than face value. An estimated $1 billion worth of gift cards may go unused this year, and Walmart hopes to take a chunk of that business and more. Marketplace's Dan Weissman is here with more. Dan, how does this little financial maneuver work?
An outfit called CardCash.com is already in the business of trading in slightly used gift cards. Walmart's partnering with them here and offering slightly better terms to consumers. So for a $100 gift card to Target, for instance, the main CardCash site offers three alternatives, and stay with me. You can get a check for $85, $90 via direct deposit, or an Amazon gift card for $93.60. Going through the Walmart side, that's a separate web address, the same Target card will get you a Walmart gift card for $96.60. Not all the terms are as generous, so in some cases, the trade-ins get you just 70% of the face value. And CardCash then turns around and offers the cards for sale through its site at higher prices than it pays. A Walmart spokesman told the AP the program is an experiment and could become permanent.
Dan, thank you. Now let's do the numbers. The London Stock Exchange is off for Boxing Day. Germany has a holiday as well. The CSI 300 index in Shanghai has gone up 3% for 2 days straight after authorities in China signaled they're making it easier to borrow there. Wall Street is back to work today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Now, is it James Bond cool or Get Smart silly? We've been keeping an eye for nearly 2 years on BlackBerry of Canada partnering with Boeing of the U.S. to make a mobile phone that can self-destruct if it gets into the wrong hands. It's designed for people in the defense and other especially sensitive industries. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
It's kind of hard to keep track how many times BlackBerry's been left for dead. Still, during a recent earnings call, CEO John Chen said he expects the once-dominant smartphone to turn profitable again in 2016. He also dropped this little nugget.
We're pleased to announce that Boeing is collaborating with BlackBerry to provide secure mobile solution for Android devices.
Aptly named the Boeing Black, any attempt to crack it open triggers a Mission Impossible-style deletion of data and renders the phone inoperable. Jeff Kagan is a tech industry analyst based in Atlanta. He says Apple and Samsung may rule the consumer side of smartphones for some time.
But on the business side and on the government side, I think BlackBerry is gold.
Kagan says smartphone security is a growth industry, and it won't just be the Boeings of the world who want these added protections.
Security on the wireless phones are going to be what consumers are going to want.
Kagan says high-profile breaches at places like Target and Sony Pictures show that this is the direction the industry is headed. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. From Russia over Christmas, word from a senior official there that inflation in Russia could reach 11%. Still, Russia proclaimed yesterday that its ruble crisis is over. That may be optimistic, given that its currency is down 2% today to 54 to the dollar, about 59% lower than what it was before oil prices began their plunge this summer. What's going on in Russia keeps getting compared to the crisis there 16 years ago, but is that fair? In Moscow, Ben Aris is editor-in-chief at Business New Europe, BNE magazine. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Should we be, what do you think, careful about drawing comparisons between Russia now and 1998 with the great ruble financial collapse back then?
Well, on a superficial level, the same thing is going on. This crisis is being driven by the dramatic and sudden fall in the price of oil. That for Russia is a big problem because the Russian budget is heavily dependent on its oil tax revenues. And so if the oil price falls, then the ruble's going to fall along with it.
Now, this state of affairs, Ben, leads reporters like me to write headlines that say it's 1998 all over again, back to the future, Boris Yeltsin's Russia. That is probably overdone.
The first part is the oil. The second part is if you look at the state of the economy now and then, it's like night and day, in so much as in 1998, Russia was still just in the midst of its post-Soviet collapse crisis, that the country had no hard currency reserves to speak of. It wasn't earning any money from anything apart from gas exports. Whereas today, Russia's running a surplus. And on top of that, it has some $420 billion in hard currency reserves. That's enough money to pay for Russia's imports for just under 2 years. And in 1998, they had enough money in their bank to pay for about 6 weeks of imports.
But spare a thought for the Russian consumer in the short term. Imagine if you wanted to buy a car early in the new year. I mean, you're not going to buy a car if interest rates are north of 17%.
This is where the big wallop to the economy is going to come. I mean, this is not, we're not going to go into crisis. We're not going to collapse in Russia. But at the same time, the consumer is going to take it on the chin. And so people have been instigating sort of long tried and tested strategies in order to protect their wealth, having lost their life savings at least twice in the last 20 years, buying apartments, buying cars, buying washing machines, transferring money off overseas to places like Cyprus, where you can open an individual bank account, and preparing themselves for the worst. So it's another big difference, I think, in this crisis from the others. And this is my eighth crisis, so this has not been a particularly stable place. There's a sort of mood of glumness, but at the same time, people are not panicking because they've seen it all before and they're kind of prepared for it.
Speaking to us from Moscow, Ben Aris is editor-in-chief of the magazine Business New Europe, BNE. Ben, thank you.
Pleasure.
Another story we're following today. Computer hackers have conspired to pull off quite the Grinch move, leading to tears from kids who'd just unwrapped new game consoles yesterday. The hackers managed to disrupt login attempts from Microsoft, Xbox Live, and Sony's PlayStations. The hackers called themselves Lizard Squad and seem unconnected to the hacking with the Seth Rogen North Korea movie. Network delays were already expected with so many game boxes getting connected for Christmas. Microsoft and Sony are not commenting, although each acknowledged to users online that they are working to fix the problems. If you miss our coverage on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe in Washington today. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.